All right, last call for our event in Calgary. I am going to be up there June 22nd and 23rd. This is open to all professions, all ages, anybody that understands the importance of improved communication, whether you're a parent, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a coach. So it doesn't matter whether you're a people pleaser, somebody that struggles with hard conversations, you want to be more confident in the moment, you want to be better at thinking of things on the fly. The apprenticeship is a two-day, highly interactive, very supportive environment that will help you do just that. We talk about influence tactics, power dynamics, how to get out of your own head so that you can build better relationships and get more results at work. Make sure to go to artofcoaching.com/events now. This is the only time I'm going to be in Canada this year. That's artofcoaching.com/events. This episode of the Art of Coaching podcast is supported by Momentous. I'm going to be frank. Most supplements are BS. It is such a hype industry where so many people hawk things that do not work. This is why I'm a deep appreciator of Momentous. They go through NSF certifications and they only make things that are practical. I'm a big fan of their grass-fed whey protein, their omega-3, their fish oil, their creatine, all things that have efficacy. I don't get much into the fringe and you shouldn't either. You can save 15% on anything on Momentous's website by going to livemomentous.com/Brett. Again, that's livemomentous.com/Brett. So whether your father needs to take more fish oil, you know you could benefit from a little bit more protein, or you just need something to help you with sleep, Momentous has you, and you can trust that it has been tested at the highest level of scrutiny through their NSF certifications. So go to livemomentous.com/Brett now. Welcome to the Art of Coaching podcast. I'm Brett Bartholomew, and at a young age, poor communication nearly cost me my life. Now, I help others navigate the gray area of social interaction, power dynamics, and communication so they can become more adaptable leaders regardless of their profession, age, or situation. This podcast is for everybody who is fascinated with solving people problems. So if you're the no-nonsense type who appreciates frank conversations, advice you can put to use immediately, and learning how others navigate the messy realities of leadership, you're in the right place. I'm glad that you're joining us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of the Art of Coaching podcast. This is going to be a very unique episode, and I'm going to lay out why from the get-go, then I'm going to introduce our special guests, and this may catch some of you off guard. Man, for those of you not who hear the topic and you think, no, this isn't for me, I'm going to urge you to just stay put, because we're going to contextualize everything in terms of business, marketing, coaching, leadership, all of that. So it doesn't matter what genre of music you like. It doesn't matter how much attention you paid to the news. Chances are that either you or somebody within your 5 degrees of influence knows about this Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef. Now, over the course of this episode, we're going to talk about what this is, why it matters, why it's not just two rich guys arguing and trying to virtue signal or show who's the best. I mean, that's definitely part of it. But what the larger economic function is, how this relates to other aspects of society, and why everybody from the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the president, and every news station has been covering this. So with that said, just engage in something that's a little unconventional. You might learn something new. I'm going to introduce my first guest, Jason Lydon. Jason is a facilitator of ours, and he is also a successful entrepreneur on his own. He has a incredible background training some of the world's best CrossFit athletes, a gym owner. He's a father of 3 children. But Jason, I don't want to steal your whole intro. Give a little bit of insight and why you care about this topic and why you're excited to talk about it today.
That was a fantastic intro. I don't even know if I'm going to add anything to that one. I love hip hop. I love music, and you know, I have a lot of varying opinions on where this is going and where it's at. But I remember getting on the phone with you right away when it was originally J. Cole and Kendrick and talk about the excitement for just some raw hip hop beef, and I'm just very interested to see where this conversation goes.
And just out of the gate, before I introduce our second guest, the reason when you hear somebody say that, if you grew up listening to hip hop, and I listen to a wide variety of music, Frank Sinatra, some country, hip hop, whatever, if it's very much a competitive art form. We're not talking about the type of rap that people hear that makes no sense, that's just glorifying violence, or worse yet, is a bunch of mumble rap and nonsense. We're talking about an art form that really started in the 70s or 80s, depends on who you believe and who you listen to, but was really a way of them kind of just telling the story of where they're from. And there's so much poetry involved. There's so much unique wordplay and wit. And it's very much like two athletes duking it out. It's very much like academics when they go back and forth in research to show their own prowess or their technical skills. So there's a lot to this. Our second guest, somebody that hasn't been on the podcast, I think, in almost a year, my wife, our director of operations, Liz. Liz, say hello.
Hello. I'm excited to be here.
Well, Liz, here's one thing I got to ask right off the bat. What the hell do you know about hip hop or any of this? Why, like, I mean, we didn't force you to be on here. Why did you want to come on today and talk about this?
I am for the audience that has no idea that these beefs were such a big thing. I follow rap. I know who Drake is. I know who Kendrick is. I'm familiar with at least some of their songs. But when you started going through this rabbit hole of all these videos and the back and forth and, this is what this means and that's what he's talking about here, I was like, oh, wow, this is a thing, the world is going crazy right now.
So Liz had to get indoctrinated to this. I poured her in to the world of these rap beefs. Jason, we played a lot of the old Eminem ones. I played her Ether from Nas and Jay-Z. Mm. I mean, and now it's a different thing because collectively they say the streams from this beef, which we're going to get into in a minute after we break down the tail of the tape, is projected to make $250 million this year alone, $250 million. Jason's coughing. He can't believe that. Sorry. All right. So let's get into this a little bit. We've introduced the host. We have me and Jason that are hip hop heads. Liz, that it, like she said, is for the audience. It's like, wait a minute, what is all this? So we're going to break this down. Jason, I know you've done a lot of research on the origins of the rivalry. So before we get into how it applies to business and this and that, we're going to get a full breakdown. Why are these two grown men mad at each other?
You know, when you called me with the discussion, with the idea of, hey, let's do a podcast on the beef, I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's do it. And then I sat back and I'm like, I don't really know, like, where this beef even started from or what is going on. So I went on YouTube the other day and I just typed in Drake versus Kendrick beef. And there was like this 50-minute amazing breakdown from this guy in Canada. And it goes all the way back to, I forgot the name. You can help me with it. Is it Controversial or
Control?
What's the name of the song?
Control.
Yeah. The Control from Kendrick, where he names like five or six different rappers, right? From like Meek Mill to Wale to a few other people, and Drake was one of them. And he wasn't saying their name in a form of like they're garbage. He was just saying like, hey, I'm the best, I'm the king, not these guys. Nobody really got upset about it, but Drake got emotional about it, right? And then Drake was on an interview after that, I think on like 97.1 or with Wendy Williams or somebody. And he was just saying how he didn't think it was a real beef, or he didn't think it was a real verse, because he said he saw Kendrick like slightly after Kendrick came out of that song, and he said it was all love from Kendrick. And I feel like Drake was just contradicting himself, because Kendrick, no other rapper like took that verse as like a diss. It was more like, hey, wow, Kendrick thinks he's the best. He mentioned our names as being other ones that people think are the best. He's just saying that he's better, which is what everybody in every realm does for the most part. Hey, I want to be the best. I'm better than these guys, whatever. He wasn't really attacking anybody. But Drake, being the emotional guy that people say he is, got emotional over it. And then the fascinating history of the beef and the subliminal messages between these two guys for like the past, I don't know, almost like 12 years of beef that I had no idea was even around for like 12, 15 years.
And a final heads up. We are starting our coalition program up again later this year. If you don't know what that is, It is a business mastermind group. We run it for 4 months. We meet twice a month, all through Zoom. It is recorded, so you don't have to worry about missing it. We align time zones, all of that. We've had people from New Zealand on, New York on. We've never had an issue. So whether you're trying to make your first buck, whether you've already made your millionth buck, this is a way that you can get around people that want to continue growing. Not sure what to do with your website? We got something there. Not sure how to market yourself? We have something there. Not sure how you want to approach hiring or any of the systems that you use for billing? Things that just make your head want to explode. We come together and find ways to solve them together. Best of all, we pay for a retreat that you're able to come out and do. Last year, we did a trip out to this lake near our house. We did a whole wipeout kind of course. We did hiking. We make food for you. It's very family-oriented. It's very communal. This is not something where if you want to like 10X your business, fly in jets, all that stuff. This is for people that want to build a grassroots business. And it doesn't matter whether you're by yourself and you have a staff. We are open to anybody that wants to improve, has an open mind, and shares in the name of helping others. So once again, if you're interested, go to artofcoaching.com/coalition. That's artofcoaching.com/coalition. There is an application process. Why? Real simple. We want people that are thoughtful, that aren't going to cut corners. So if you can't fill out the application, probably not going to show up for people in the group. We try to be direct there, and we have some tripwires because we're very protective of this program. If you have any questions beyond that, just reach out to us at info@artofcoaching.com. We'll be happy to answer them for you.
I don't know, almost like 15, was it 12 years of beef that I had no idea was even around for like 12, 15 years of just these subliminal messages and verses and songs from one of my favorite bangers of all time, right? From both of them, from Kendrick and SZA on Black Panther. Like his whole verse in that song was about Drake, right? And it was like Drake had so many songs with subliminal message about Kendrick, and it was like, wow, this really goes back far.
All right, yeah. So to contextualize this, think about if you're the casual listener, Muhammad Ali, back in his prime, right? He'd say, I'm the greatest. Tyson says he's the greatest. You have athletes that talk trash about other athletes. You have businesses. You might have a bakery down the corner and somebody else has a bakery, and you know, yours is mainstream, or maybe it's mom and pop, and the other person's the opposite. That's what we have here. We have two people competing in different respects, arguably at the top of their art form. Drake is very commercial. We'll get into that breakdown in a minute. Kendrick is speaks a lot on social activism. Kendrick is more of kind of what you call a backpack rapper. A backpack rapper is just, that's a colloquialism for somebody that's just saying, hey, I'm no frills, I'm no nonsense, I'm just a craftsman, I'm here for the love of the game. If I make money, cool. If not, like, I'm going to be one of the best lyricists. So contextualize that. If you're a no frills coach, you're a Kendrick Lamar. If you're somebody that, you know, you want a lot of commercial success, you want this, and you got skills too, right? You're more of a Drake. So that's all this means, is it's two people competing. One person got sensitive over a verse, as Jason said. And then for 10 years, these people just traded under the radar jabs. Now, Liz, you know, like, what would be a way that, like, made sense to you when we were talking about this in terms of, like, just when you think of people and they communicate and they disagree, how much does it get under your skin if something's under the radar or subliminal versus direct? Like, what impact do you think that's going to have if it's just bubbled up passive aggressive behavior for 10 years?
Yeah, just in general, I would think that would make things worse as opposed to being direct.
So things got worse, but they know how to contextualize, they know how to make money off of it. So here's what happens, right? Here's the breakdown. When you think about the function of a beef, first and foremost, it's about respect amongst peers, right? Like, so these people engage and they think, all right, this isn't a dispute. This is a way to acknowledge different talents, create some kind of hierarchy. And that plays a role into record deals. Like, these things all have spillover effects, right? This is stuff that, like, if people don't do this stuff right, it can ruin their career. So it's not just about getting more attention, but also building stronger fan loyalty, because people are tribal, right? Like, you know, like, who do you at the end of the day side with in this, Jason?
Ooh, I mean, I know that's a simple question. I don't know if I have a simple answer for that one. You know, it's like, I always loved Drake until the whole copywriting thing came out. And
No. Explain that. We got people listening that don't know a thing about that. What do you mean by ghostwriting and everything?
All right, sorry. Yeah, I think I skipped over that because I thought you were going to touch on it.
I will.
So it came out that Drake has other people write his rhymes for him. And a lot of his songs were written by somebody else. So so that discredits people a lot, especially in hip hop, and especially if you're claiming to be the best. True hip hop artists will look at you and be like, there's no way you can even put your name up there as being the best because you don't even write your own lyrics. They're written for you by somebody else. You can just add a cadence to it and stay on beat. And that came out and it was actually true, which, you know, yeah, Drake makes great. He has some amazing hits, but he's also played in Target and he's on Kids Bop, right? So it's like, okay, is he?
Yeah, but let's play devil's advocate there. Like, and this is just for the sake of the discussion. Don't you want to diversify, right? Like, even if you're the most hardcore, you and I came up in a field that is very underground, right? People can get firmly entrenched. No, I only do this, I only do that, and every profession has it. Isn't it to people's benefit, though, to broaden their audience? Why is this a bad thing?
I think if you're trying to stake the claim of a certain niche with inside of a genre like Hip Hop King, the greatest of all time on pure hip hop, I think the essence of pure hip hop does have a niche to me. To me, it's not like, you know, you're not going to hear Cannabis and or LL Cool J and 1-2-3-4 playing Target as you're going to buy diapers for your, you know, 1-year-old. You know, you're not going to hear, you know, a true hip hop song being played at a kid's 7th grade dance. So I think in terms of like, yeah, good music, poppy music, rap music, things that like, yeah, cool, like it's great bangers, playing clubs. I think Drake's the king of that. You know, I think you can go to a 6th grade dance and there'll be tons of Drake songs. I'm not discrediting him from hip hop, but I think if you're thinking of terms like, hey, I'm the king of hip hop and what is hip hop, that's underground, that's raw, that's pure, that's a story, that's a lyrical, that's a poet, that's someone putting words to paper that mean and can tell a story.
That's a really good explanation.
Correlates people, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to turn this one to Liz. You know what I liken it to before we do the breakdown even more is it's kind of like it's like books, right? Like there are certain people that have 16 books that they've written. But, you know, and with our focus being on leadership here, you read them and it's like they just took every parable or, you know, little story that you can imagine. Like the depth isn't there, right? So, yeah, they've written 16 books. Maybe they're a multimillionaire. Maybe that's what they want. But those books aren't really things you're turning to when you're going through hard times. They're kind of like something that you give to an intern, right? Like it just reminds them to like chop wood and carry water and do this. It's like, all right, yeah, but like you're not rereading that maybe at like 45 or 50. And so Drake is kind of like that guy that like got talent, got skill, but the majority of his music is like that person that's writing, you know, those superficial kind of books to kind of make a quick buck. Liz, does that relate to you? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Or I was trying to think of something too while you guys were talking. I'd say maybe even like food. Like there's a difference between a home-cooked meal and then when you need to commercialize something that's on the shelf at the grocery store, there's a difference. They both serve a purpose, but yeah.
That's a great point. And so think about this, no matter what artist you listen to, and Liz, you listen to more country than I do, who would be an example of like a country artist that's kind of like Drake, right? They went mainstream, they got skill, but they really, really, really went mainstream and doubled down on that versus an artist now that's still kind of, or at least the perception is that they're very grassroots.
Are you giving a Taylor Swift reference right
now? No, country. I'm asking you, country music. She's a country.
She was country. I didn't know that. She started off country. Yeah,
but, I mean, is there anybody right now that is a country, like, I'll just shout a name out. I don't know that I know any of his songs. What's Morgan Wallen? Is he very commercial? Is he grassroots? And then whatever he is, who's the drastic opposite of Morgan Wallen?
Okay. Yeah, I feel like some of his songs have, like, hip-hop vibe with them, like mixed with country. If you think about like 90s country, sure. Like Alan Jackson and Trace Atkins.
Is Alan Jackson commercial? Is he more like Garth Brooks is a good mix of both, right?
Yes.
Like he's a good mix of both. Garth Brooks would be like Eminem. Eminem is a good underground rapper, very lyrically locked in, but also had commercial appeal. Jay-Z was the same way, whether you like their music or not. Those were people that had technical skill that also went commercial. Would you agree, Jason?
Florida Georgia Line is the Drake of country.
Okay, there we go. Yes. Now we've contextualized that. Then who's the Kendrick Lamar of it?
Trace Atkins.
Okay, so now we're going to break this down. Think about all the things that you've done as a coach, a leader, a business owner, whatever. You know that a reality is you got to make a good product, And Jason and Liz, I'll just go through this quick and then we'll get to the P. You want to have respect amongst those that you do it with, right? You'd agree with that. Mm-hmm. Your business needs attention, right? You need, like, you're going to have a marketing campaign. People need to notice this stuff. If you don't, like, one of my biggest pet peeves, and let me be clear, I love the idea of it. It's just not true long-term. When people say great stuff sells itself, great stuff doesn't sell itself. Billions of dollars are made every year of people buying just crap products online, crap products in stores. In the meantime, really, really locked in business owners and craftspeople, they don't always get an audience because they don't have that distribution and they go out of business every day. Jason, would you agree? Like, you need marketing.
100%. You need marketing. Right. Especially now. Yeah.
Right. You need strong fans. Jason, I imagine you have people that are hardcore Conquer fans, right? Like, mm-hmm. we have people that are hardcore AOC, making money, proving their value. Great. So let's get down to the artist profile. Now, Liz, you as our resident newbie, and I've written notes down, full disclosure, anybody, so I have ghostwritten a little bit of this because, you know, Liz has a much more pleasant voice than Jason and I. So Liz is going to give a breakdown of Drake, and think about this as differentiation, right? What makes you different? So she's going to talk about lyrical content and themes, the type of music selection, beats, some verbal delivery. Go ahead, Liz, give the tail of the tape on Drake.
Okay, so his lyrics focus on personal relationships, ambition, and the struggles of fame, making him relatable to a broad audience.
All right, good. And then there's a second piece of this, too. Now, here's the part that's not relatable to me. So after Liz reads this, Jason, I'm going to get your take on this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to give my take because this is kind of what turns me against him, even though I think he's clever. I think he's funny. I think he's really skilled. But it's why, like, overall, like, if I drew a line, I'm probably with the other party. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now he positions himself as a relatable yet aspirational figure, crafting songs that reflect the journey from humble beginnings to global stardom.
Now, this is where it gets a bit much for me, right? Because this is stuff that you find online. If you follow Drake online, right, aspirational apparently is guy goes, gets a high, like some kind of liquor, makes a smoked drink, puts on God knows what facial cream, God knows how many millions of dollars of jewelry, a mansion that's so big that probably all of the homeless in America or at least a city could fit in it. And whatever, like, do you, but, like, it's a very bougie lifestyle, right? Slipper, it's soft. It's soft. And for somebody like me, like, even if I aspire to be wealthy, which I want our family to have generational wealth, you're probably not going to come see me rocking slippers with clasps on and, you know, gold jewelry. To each their own, but I just don't, that's not aspirational to me the way he does it. Your take, Jason?
I just think everything about that sounded fake to me, meaning you're a Nickelodeon kid. You didn't come from a humble beginning. You grew up in Canada with money and you were a childhood star. So it's like talking about like humble beginnings. And then I don't know, you know, the way he lives his life and like you said, to each his own, I think he does a great job with it and whatever is how you want to do it. But it's, I don't know, to me it's like it's in your face, it's bougie, it's how much, look how much money I have, look at all this, look at all that. It just doesn't connect with me.
No, you didn't start from the bottom and now you're not there. Yeah. You started there and now, you know, another site.
Isn't that his song?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Liz got it. And another note, this is just some, grease for the listeners. Here's another thing. An athlete I used to train in the past in my former life used to want me to train them at Drake's house. And so I had an opportunity to meet Drake. I didn't. I'm sure I'd like him. I'm sure I'd get along with him. So Drake, if you hear this, don't try to like cancel my book and whatever, because we know you have connections and whatever. But like, I'm like, dude, I'm not a personal trainer. And then one, I'm not going to go to Drake's house to train you. That's not happening. Cause then I'm going to end up training Drake and he's going to want to do chest day and biceps. Cause we know he skips leg day. That guy definitely skips leg day.
No, right? He's not squatting body weight.
Not squatting. All right. Musical selection. Like, and I thought this was interesting. This was a term I didn't know. He blends hip hop with R&B, which got a great voice. Mm-hmm. Dance hall. That's a type of music that I didn't know how to put words to. Were you familiar with that term?
I heard it more from like the reggae scene, you know, because if you go to like Apple Music and type in dance hall music, lots of reggae stuff will come up, right? I haven't really heard it connected to I'll just say like hip hop, or I haven't really heard it connected until Drake came out with his song, right? Which totally was like, Are you hip-hop or not? Like, Kendrick's not making a dancehall album. You know, like, Mobb Deep's not making a dancehall album. Tupac's not, and Biggie, they're not going to make dancehall albums. It's like, where are you? What are you trying to do? Like you said, you're like the target of music.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and it's like, for those of you that don't know, dancehall, it's pretty much every song on the radio where it'll be like a beat, and then there's this little like, like thing in the middle of it. Every song has the same dare-na-na-na-na-na. Very atmospheric, layered melodies. I heard he actually used to, and I think this is actually smart. I'm not going to get on him about this. When he would write songs about relationships or breakups, rumor is he would have women come in the studio and he would just ask them questions like, what'd you go through? What'd you feel? I think that's smart. That's just drawing source material and making sure. So very catchy, very targety. Liz, what about verbal delivery and flow? I just need to hear you say this.
All right, let's see here. So he does melodic rapping.
Can you do melodic rapping?
No, definitely not.
Later, Liz is going to do melodic rapping.
I can do nursery rhymes at bedtime. He's known for his ability to switch between rapping and singing, providing a versatile and melodic delivery that complements various music styles.
All right, so to complement that, Liz is going to read a sample of one of Drake's songs called 5 a.m. in Toronto. All right, so Liz is going to give her best. We've got to make sure that Liz, let's make sure it's edited here. let's see. Oh, here we go. That's why, hold on, we're waiting. Oh boy, there's a lot of things that are a tough one on this. All right, Liz, go ahead and start from a couple albums dropped. Those are still on the shelf. And wait and read it and tell allegations. Go ahead. Okay. Good luck.
Am I like rapping this?
Yeah, you're definitely rapping this. This is why people are going to listen. This is the reason people tuned in. So like you just, you know, you got to go.
Let it go, Liz.
Life is improv. A couple albums dropped. Those are still on the shelf. I bet them S words would have popped if I was willing to help. I got a gold trophy from the committee for validation. Bad press during the summer over allegations.
Oh, Liz with the hot rock.
Oh,
Liz crushed it. I don't know where the
crushed
there
it.
There we go. Liz with the hot rhymes. Okay.
I haven't heard a little slang. I remember the slang in her voice all of a sudden, like mid-second bar.
Yeah, she started getting that Method Man bounce. All right, so to wrap up Drake, right, a lot of cultural influence. He's very trend-setting. A lot of emerging music interests or trends merges those into his work. He's versatile. He is versatile, but as Jason said, there's a balance to this. All right, so let's talk about Kendrick now. Kendrick, a lot more known for socially conscious lyrics, which to a degree, we need to be fair here. Right? Sometimes that can get annoying. I'm just gonna say it.
Totally.
It can get annoying. It's not annoying that he's tucking on bigger themes. That's not what's annoying. We maybe just don't need like 13 songs on those themes.
Right.
Right. And that's
for sure.
That's just me. But Jason, I want to give you a chance to take on that as well.
No, I agree 100%. I think having like I actually went back and re-listened to his album To Pimp a Butterfly, which had amazing records around it, a fantastic album. I think that's great, but I agree. Like, when you get a topic that you're passionate about, I think it's cool to have some great stuff on it, but you have everything on the same thing. I think over time, it's just like, okay, you kind of like, you understand like what the message is gonna be, what the story is, where lots of times you connect with the storyline and the flow, the message of the hip hop song with the flow of it, which kind of connects with a lot of people. So over time, yeah, I think I definitely wanna hear something a little different of a storyline.
Yeah, and Liz is going to wrap some of this as well. Now, Liz, to give you a little bit of help, this song's called Count Me Out. So I'm going to give you a little bit of sample of the cadence, and then you're going to try to do it, right? I wish I could pull it up, but one of these lives, I'm going to make things right with the wrongs I've done and the ones you, like, so you just got to, like, you got to wrap that, all right? So you see this? One of these lives, I'm going to, Liz Bartholomew again. Here we go.
I've actually heard this one before. Yep. Wait, where am I starting?
One of these lives.
One of these lives, I'm going to make things right with those wrongs I've done. That's one of you know, with the father and son. Till then, I fight, rain on me, put the blame on me. Got guilt, got hurt, got shame on me. I think that's good.
Got six magazines that's aimed on me, done every magazine, what's famed in me. So he gets in. I mean, this song is about, he talks about how he's had affairs, how he's a complex soul. This is stuff that goes deeper, right? So a lot of his beats are live instrumentation, jazz influence, really heavy jazz influence, unconventional time. Like if you were to go in Chicago and you were to go into an underground, like kind of live poetry jazz club, you would not be surprised to hear a Kendrick Lamar song played. Yes or no?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. All right. So we get into this. He positions himself as very authentic, low-key, boring life, white t-shirt, jeans from Compton, mm-hmm. a drug addict father or alcoholic father, generational abuse. He doesn't do any of it. No drugs, no drinking, no nothing. Drake, pop star, comes up, drinks, does this, does that, kind of epitomizes lifestyle. Neither one of them define them as a person. Everybody's got skeletons, just making the point. All right, so this is where we go to, like, the tactical considerations when making a diss record. Now, Jason, you got that document open? You got the speaking points? All right. Talk to me about like content delivery through production and instrumentals. Like, cause this is like, if you need to make a diss record, it's just like thinking of making a marketing campaign, right? There's an art to these things. Go ahead and give me some breakdown.
So I'm on the document right now. Are you under Drake or Kendrick?
No, now we're in tactical consideration. So content delivery, precision and lyrics, diss record, the art of the diss record. Go ahead.
Okay. Content and delivery, right?
You got
precision and lyrics. Diss records require lyrics that are pointed and specific.
All right. So you, one, I want to hear, have you ever made a diss record?
No.
No. Okay. If you did, I want to know what Juan Liz has made a diss record. She's ready.
No. Well, I want to weigh in on some things that I've learned since you've informed me on the practice of the diss record and rap beef. So you mentioned something about they are required to respond within a certain amount of time. That was the big deal with Drake waited a really long time. And so everyone was getting all riled up about that. And then you also mentioned if the first person mentions certain things, like they dissed you on X, Y, and Z, when you respond, you're supposed to apparently respond to all those things. You can't just like not respond to it.
Yeah, spot on. So you have 72 hours. So listener, right now, if somebody made a diss record to you, you got 72 hours to do this. And you, like Liz said, you have to respond. So this is one area where they're both falling short. Because they're both getting so personal, they're not actually responding to the allegation. Now, should I give an example of that and then turn to you, Jason, or do you want to touch on that first?
Yeah, if you don't mind. Like, I had some notes down that I want to touch on, and I feel like something a lot deeper happened between Kendrick and Drake that just no one knows yet. And I say that because Drake took Kendrick on tour with him, right? And Drake will say, hey, I got you started. Like, he didn't get him started, but he first took Kendrick on tour, and they did a show in Toronto and this and that. And then Kendrick started picking up steam and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And throughout the beef, through the past 12 years, there's been numerous instances where Drake has tried to end the beef. He's like taking pictures of old tweets that him and that not old tweets, old text messages that him and Kendrick have had with one another, and posted a picture of it and just being like, "Hey, what's up? I'm in LA, trying to come through." He reposted a picture of Kendrick and himself on stage together. He's done numerous things where he's tried to reach out, whether through text or something, to try to squash the beef over the past 12 years. And Kendrick has reportedly just said, like, I just don't like you. Like, flat out. Like, I just don't like you as a person. I don't respect you. I don't like you. And Kendrick never once reached back out or made any sort of suggestion to imply that he would ever want to squash the beef between the two of them. And I always thought that was interesting, you know? And I was like, well, what? Okay. So obviously I feel like something bigger has kind of happened or transpired. No one really knows about. Yeah. Or Kendrick just straight up just doesn't like him. I think he's like, all right, you know, like you're a pop star, you're a Nickelodeon kid, you know, you have a kid with a porn star. Like I just, like, you know, get out of my ground that I'm standing on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot here, right? And that's what makes this so interesting, and that's why it's made national headlines. One, nobody, because of this streaming era, in the past, like, Jason makes a diss towards me, I respond, maybe there's two or three more, we're done. But that wouldn't always really help us sell albums. Like, yeah, maybe like in the later years where it started getting into iTunes, 50 Cent, and people would play that game. But now they just keep making music. So people said it benefited Drake because Drake's gotten lazy rapping, and then it benefited Kendrick because he'll go 5 years between releasing an album. I wish I could go five years between putting something out and then just make millions off of it and then go into hiding.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot here. And then for those, Jason alluded to it, Drake hit a kid. Drake hit a kid and saw another rapper exposed that.
It kind of sounded like you said hit.
Sorry, hid. Hid that he had a child. So with these rap beefs, the thing that makes them interesting too is these people go into research. They'll hire private investigators. They will hire somebody to go into, like, find a way to get somebody's medicine bottle and say that they're on this medicine. Drake apparently says that he's got the engagement ring that Kendrick Lamar gave to his wife. But you have to respond. And so here's an example of what Jason was talking about. And by the way, just the zeitgeist of this, and there's no political connotation here. I'm just reading something that came up in the news. So in one of Kendrick's songs, and Jason talked about, like, Kendrick just doesn't seem to like him. He doesn't like him. So in one of Kendrick's songs, where is it? Where is it? I hate.
Down at the bottom. I hate the way you sneaked it.
Oh, yeah. Where are we at? Where'd it go? Where to go? We got to read it. Okay. So he said, it's always been about love and hate. Now, let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way you talk. I hate the way you walk. I hate the way you dress. I hate the way you sneak this. If I catch fight, it's going to be direct. And then I get a thing on my phone the other day because I have text alerts of when the Drake beat pops off. Apparently, Joe Biden took the Euphoria lyrics and made them towards Donald Trump. So,
oh my God,
literally, yeah, that's every, literally the headline, and this is on billboard.com, Joe Biden's campaign disses Donald Trump using Kendrick Lamar Euphoria lyrics. So the clip, and I'm reading from the article now, utilizes a slideshow that kicks off with Biden and Kamala Harris before moving into photos with Trump. So it says, Biden apparently wrapped this. It's always been about love and hate. Now, let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way you walk over women's rights, the way you talk about immigrants. I hate the way you dress. I hate the way you sneak diss on Truth Social. So we have Joe Biden now using Kendrick Lamar diss lines. Liz, thoughts?
Joe Biden's with it. It reminds me of we watched the SNL skit the other day where it was like they were doing a pretend news story and they started talking about the beef too.
Yeah, it's all over. Jason, nothing. Jason's gonna pass.
No comment.
I feel like I could say something political that wouldn't go over well. So I'm just gonna say
that's, you can say whatever you want on this podcast. This is a safe space. You say whatever you want.
Biden doesn't even know if he's going right or left. Like, the dude is senile. He's like, and so I feel like his publicist to put a Kendrick Lamar lyric to him, I'm like, that's like, are you, I don't know. It's just such, that just seems like such a dumb and just unintelligent move.
All right. So here's some things you got to think about. And this is for anybody that gets involved in this, right? Like, if you have to think about risk assessment, like, if Drake, there was an article in the New York Times about this, they said, where do both artists go from here? Because this got personal, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, so I even heard that Drake, I don't know how true this is, but he started having people plant, and this goes back to what you were saying, false information to Kendrick. So Kendrick would write rhymes about things that weren't true, because if you hear one of Drake's newest songs of Kendrick, he talks about that, of him saying, hey, you're saying this, you need to check your information. So trying to discredit Kendrick by having him rap about information that's not even right.
Here's the thing that's a lie about that, though. And I listen to, I'm well informed because I'll periodically listen to the Joe Budden podcast until I can't stand him anymore. And right. I'll listen to The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne the God and DJ Envy, which low key is one of the best shows ever. Like, if you just need to get your, like, petty entertainment, and also it's great. My favorite comedian's Bill Burr. They'll have people on there, and they have one host that kind of soft toss some questions. Another one that is just a brutal hater. He tries to make everybody look bad. And so it's a great show to watch. But point being, what they said on there is, if that's true, if Drake fed him this information, why didn't Drake video that? Like, if I'm feeding you, or Liz and I are let's say we're not married and Liz is dissing me, and she's feeding me fake information, she's going to set her phone up in the tripod and show, you know, that brainstorming session and release that to TMZ. So you know that's not true, because when Kendrick came out with that, it took Drake way too long, whereas Kendrick would respond in like 6 minutes. And right. if you fed fake information and that was a setup, why aren't you taking pictures of the setup? Why aren't
that's
you
a great point.
Why aren't you videoing the setup? You would have that leaked everywhere, and then you'd feed it to TMZ and be like, oh, you all thought he won, right? Here's the timestamp. I'm holding up a newspaper from today's date. You can see on my iPhone, here's today's date. Here's all the fake stuff we're feeding him. So if this comes out, now you know. Now you know.
That's great. Yeah.
Your thoughts.
That's right. I think that's genius. I never thought about that, but that makes 100% sense to me.
All right. So another, Liz, do you have any thoughts on that? How would you set somebody up? What would you do
So here's my question. So if you are a business or even just on social media, if someone were to come at you with stuff like this, where, you know, obviously for them in hip hop, it's a thing. Like if someone disses you, you got to respond. Where do we, what do we take away from this in terms of real life? Where's the line where you, because didn't they get, when they got super personal on the recent releases, some people said like, oh no, Drake, you shouldn't have responded to that. So where's the carryover?
Yeah, I mean, straightforward, right? Companies raise prices and offer new deals to compete with other people. Sometimes that could be more like a sneak diss. They're not outright. They're just saying we're going to beat our competitors. Other ones will overtly state who their competitor is, right? Like I'm sure people have done it for us. I'm sure people have said, oh, Art of Coaching. You know, they try to find things that are highly visible. And that's where the things about yourself that some people love are the same things people are. So, you know, you've seen it with me. Certain people love my passion. Other people, you know, he's obnoxious. He's abrasive. He's aggressive. Jason, what are some things that, you know, have been like a strength for you that some people love, but might be polarizing for other people?
Ooh, I don't know. I would say for me it would be, I'm very secluded. You know, I think some people love that. I'm very loyal and secluded, and I don't really let a lot of people in. And then I have heard a lot of people view me as my resting bitch face, or my first impression of people is very much like me and get away from me. Where for me, I'm just like secluded in who I let in and trust.
There you go. So one practical takeaway is think of all the things somebody could quote unquote diss you for, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is your product considered expensive by some people? Are you considered this? Is your product too cheap? Like what are all the things? This is kind of like a pre-mortem. If you make a business plan, you think of everything that could go wrong. In this case, you think of everything somebody could say about you. Now, if this sounds familiar in a rap context, you're right. It brings us back to 8 Mile. You're welcome. Eminem used this, what we call internally as the battle rap approach. He knew people were going to say he was white. So he ripped it out from them. He's like, hey, like, I am white. I am a bum. I do live in a trailer with my mom. I do got a friend named Cheddar Bob who shot himself in the leg with his own gun. So by the time he passes it to Papa Doc, Jason, he got nothing to say.
Nothing.
Right?
He took all their ammo.
Like, that's a business thing that I think is worth it. Like, we tell people, and Jason, I want to hear your take on this. When you come to for Conquer, like, we do this when we create ads. And by the way, Ryan Reynolds does this with Mint Mobile. Mm-hmm. We just say, hey, we're not for everybody. We're the people you come to when you're ready to get uncomfortable, kind of deal with your own ego insecurities, communication strategies. We do things that are small, tightly knit. We're not the cheapest on the market, and we don't apologize for it, right? Like, I'm going to put that out there right away because I want to talk about who we're not for. And if all that seems like a flaw to you, yo, mutual respect, save your time, don't come to us, right? So we leverage that kind of marketing strategy. What do you do, if anything?
Same thing. Yeah, I just did a strategy for Conquer, a launch, and it was the same thing where I said, if you can't commit to yourself, you can't commit to a program, if you don't like working hard towards a goal, and you don't like paying a price and put a value on what we have to offer with intelligence, then we're not for you. And continue to program hop and get minimal results.
Excellent point. Another piece there, and Liz touched on it, is timing, right? So here's another way you can benefit. You'll see this all the time, and I see it on Twitter. When somebody's coming out with a book, they start rabble-rousing on Twitter. I'm not going to name names, but I follow a number of well-known authors, and I always know when they're either trying to do a book promotion or sell a book. And by the way, I'm not mad at them. You believe I'm going to start a little shit, too, when time comes for my book. Like, if you knew the topic, you would know that that fits. And some of it has a purpose. You need to wear a mask sometimes. Now, if you're doing that all the time, right, that's another thing. So where do you draw the line? To Liz's point, that's everybody's choice, right? Mm-hmm. For me, I'm gonna we're gonna choose a few times a year. It pays to be strategic, but I'm not gonna respond to everybody because that's another thing. You can't respond to everybody that disses you, Liz.
So you saying that reminded me of P.T. Barnum. He was like the inventor of that, right? And would play into what people were saying about him. But also, so tying it back to the rap beef stuff, I know you were telling me about J. Cole, and he was at the beginning of this, and he like bowed out and was like, I don't remember what he said, but like, oh, I just nothing but respect, you know, and he's like, I'm not going to respond. And to me, I was like, okay, like that's big of him, right?
No.
But you're like, no, that's not how it works. And you gave a good comparison of like an athlete, like, or we'll go back to boxing since you mentioned that earlier. Like if there's a fight set up and one of the athletes doesn't show up, like that's not how it works.
Yeah. And again, just going back to those points early on, right? Same thing if you're in academia. If I say my research is the best and there's, I've done it 10 years and I'm tenured or 15 years, and like people are writing critiques of it, and they're like, some of the critiques are trash, whatever. It's just another researcher trying to make their name, but some of them are valid. And I never, ever, ever issue a rebuttal, or I never counterpoint. Those are just things you can't do, right? And by the way, you don't want to do this, ties directly into conflict, right? Avoidance. The main point and benefit of rap beefs, and the reason people get excited about it, is it pushes innovation. People for 20 years, myself included, and Jason, you're a millennial too, so I have to imagine, we've been tired of 20 years of crap rap, jump man, like mumble rap nonsense. You come from the day where like the lyrics used to mean something and it was resonant and it tapped into your adversity and the underdog, right? So it pushes innovation. And I think there's a direct tie-in with conflict there. Juan, let's turn to Jason on that. Because I know you're not one to run from conflict. So I want to, I want you to, by the way, I used to think you were the most zen. I'm like, Liz, this is a self-actualized dude, which I still think you are. But then one time you're like, hey, man, let me tell you about sometime I almost like bashed somebody's teeth in on a Starbucks. And I'm like, all right, I got it. There's layers of Jason. So, Jason, your thoughts on conflict avoidance and innovation and all that.
I think it's sport. Yes, conflict is good. And people need to understand how to handle conflict and get after it. And there comes a time where you got to put your foot in the line, put your foot in the sand, so to say, right? And hip hop is one of those. You go through some of the biggest beefs out there, from obviously the worst one, which is Tupac and Biggie, and you got 50 and Ja Rule and Pusha T and Drake and Nas and Jay-Z and Drake and Meek Mill and NWA and Ice Cube. And I mean, there's so many of them, right? I don't even say Eminem and MGK because I don't feel like that was anything. Eminem just murdered him. But yeah, with conflict in situations like this, it's like if you're playing basketball or baseball, you have, and someone says they're the best and they say they're better than you, if you don't step up and stand up, then they are better than you. And whether it's, I feel like some of the crowd, J. Cole, is going to look back like, oh, well, he's wise because look how evil and dirty and low this battle's getting. Not all battles. I think that's a problem as I keep talking. I apologize for that. But I think some people look at battles where it has to be like an evil thing, right? And it doesn't. It's like a breakdance battle, right? Or dance battle. It's like they're not trying to kill each other. It's like one group thinks they're the best dancer. The other person says they're the best dancer. So they have a dance-off to see who's better, right? And I think that's where the essence of it comes down to. It's like, okay, you say you're the best. I say I'm the best. Let's see who is the best. Let's just see who really owns the spot, right? And I think the problem is nowadays a lot of people don't understand how to handle conflict. So when they get presented in that situation, it turns into this, F you, I'm going to talk about your kids. I'm going to murder you. I have more guns than you. I have more people than you. When it shouldn't even come down to that. It's just like, well, who is the best? Let's just kind of step in and see who is the best without getting our feelings hurt.
Well, and mind you, and Liz brought this up too. I'm glad she brought up J. Cole because this ties into conflict avoidance and business ramifications or whatever. There are some people that going back to like, well, I don't want to have to market. Well, I don't want to have to publicize this and I don't want to have to do this. That's fine if you don't, but like you can evade reality. You can't evade the consequences of evading reality, right? And so like J. Cole is an example of like somebody that was thought of one of the greatest coming into this, has this album set up, everything's teed up. And then he bows out and immediately people are like, you're done. And by the way, he's been name dropped in every diss song. So you think that you're going to like, there's times where like, you can't take the higher road. There just are times where it's wartime. Let's make this podcast honest and different. There are times in life you take the high road, not worth it. Don't play in the mud, whatever. And then there's times that you play in the mud and you go. And if you don't, then all of a sudden, don't be surprised when people say you don't belong on the list as the best anymore. Liz.
Right.
So moral of the story, everyone should take debate at some point.
I mean, it pays because, and that's a good point, because there is a critical thinking element to this. And I think that's the thing that most people get wrong about rap is they have no idea, like, whether it's double or triple entendres and multisyllabic rhymes. Like, that's what drew me to it, is complexity, right? Like you'll hear a word and you didn't know, like, that hit like seven different ways and there was a punchline there. Jason, thoughts on that?
Yeah, the complexity of some of these guys and how smart and intelligent they are is huge. And while you were talking, I was spacing out because I was actually going back to the Jay-Z and 50 Cent beef, where when 50 Cent first came out, he was trying to make a splash where he came off his mixtapes. Right, remember he dropped that line, Robbing the Industry. And he went after, like, everybody. And Jay-Z got on stage, like, the next day or 2 days later at the Hot 97 Awards or Hot 97, like, Music Festival, Summerfest. And he had his famous line, I'm about a dollar, what the f*** is 50 Cent?
Oh, geez.
You know, and in, like, half a bar, he just stepped right up to 50 and just shut him down. And 50 didn't take it personal and say, I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to attack. He was like, he got me on that one. Cool, let me move on to someone else now, right, and keep going after, right? And I think that's what it's about, right? It's like the complexity of some of these things can be so vast and true. But I do think if you make it a diss track, I think subliminally going after someone is like, why subliminally go after someone? Like, and that's what also got me upset with Kendrick a little bit, because Kendrick would make fun of Drake for subliminally going after him. But you subliminally went after Drake for the past 10 years as well. Like, it's a two-way road. Like, I like the 50 and Jay-Z approach. Just come right out. Come right after someone. Say it. And then let them come back. And if they get you, cool, they got you.
Yeah.
All right? I'll go on and make it in the club and sell another 8 million records.
Well, and that's the thing. How do you turn it into something that's beneficial? And we're going to do a recap at the end here of, like, Liz's three tips, your three tips, mine, but we got to do one more entertainment segment here. So Jason, okay. I need you to pull up because, and to contextualize this, but pull up the Rap Devil lyrics from MGK, because you brought it up. Pull that up while I'm talking. Now, when we talk about marketing and moving this to real life, the Drake and Kendrick thing has gotten real, real petty and real ugly. Like I said, allegations of assault and battery, allegations of being a pedophile. It's usually not like this. Another reason it's making headlines. And so, like, nobody's saying go ugly to draw differentiation or be aggressive. You can also use humor, irony, wit. You got to figure out what your brand voice is. So to contextualize this, Machine Gun Kelly, which if you haven't heard of him, you're not alone, decided that he was going to write a diss record towards Eminem. And this is going to be Liz and Jason, by the way. Liz is going to do Eminem's part. Jason's going to do Machine Gun Kelly. No offense, Jason. We just got to let Liz go.
All good. All good.
And Eminem's like, I'm not going to deal with this. Like, this is not worth my time. Like, you're not going to get a lot of my lyrical talent. And this stemmed over the fact that MGK had said Eminem's daughter was hot. I think Eminem's daughter was 14 at the time. Eminem is like, you're a creep, you know, shut up. And the guy kept commenting on his daughter. So MGK decides he wants to make some music. And Jason, I need you. This is an example of when Eminem replies in a joking way, track for track. So Jason, you're going to start with, we know you get nervous rabbit. And you're going to end at, I was named after a gangster. Okay.
So I'm looking, I have Rap Devil by MGK pulled up, and I'm looking for that part.
All right. We know you get nervous, Rap. If you lose it, I'll go ahead and do it.
No, I can't even find it. Like, I'm looking for it now.
Just Control F Rabbit. Type Control F Rabbit, and it'll pull right up. Liz is like chomping at the bit to diss you back right now. So, like, all right, I got it. I'll read it. Just
shit, I'm sorry, I can't find
you're
it.
You're good. All right, so this is this is MGK, and then I can't wait. This is really just to set Liz up to rap again.
I love it.
So he said, now you gotta pay attention here, because this is how you have to respond. This is how it's supposed to be done. Somebody says something, and then you're gonna hear how Liz responds to it all. So MGK says, we know you get nervous, Rabbit. I see mom's spaghetti all over your sweater. You wish you'd lose yourself on the records that you made a decade ago. They were better. According to them, you're a national treasure. To me, you're as soft as a feather. The type to be scared to ask Rihanna for her number just to hold her umbrella, Ella. All right, so you've got lose yourself. Rihanna diss so far. I'm not afraid. Okay, Oscar the Grouch, chill on the couch. You got an Oscar. Damn, can anyone else get food in their mouth? They made a movie about you. You're in everybody's top 10. You're not getting better with time. It's fine, Eminem. Put down the pen. Basically, then he says, and I got to touch on this, Liz. I know you're chomping, but just wait. How could I even look up to you? You're not as tall as me. 5'8", and I'm 6'4", 7 punches. Hold your hold still. Last time you saw 8 Mile was at home on your treadmill. You're named after a candy. I'm named after a gangster. So Eminem, or Machine Gun Kelly, is trying to come hard. Eminem responds back, comedic, and bar for bar, but in like an unamused thing. So Liz, you're going to start with a line that says, Rihanna, and you're going to end at... this one, mouth feeling, stealing food. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. All right.
You got it.
Rihanna just hit me on text. Last night I left hickeys on her neck. Wait, you just dissed me? I'm perplexed. Insult me a line, compliment me on the next damn. Oh.
You're fine. You can say damn, okay. Liz.
I'm really sorry you want me to have a heart attack. Was watching 8 Mile on the Nordic track. Realized I forgot to call you back. Here's the autograph for your daughter. I wrote it on the starter cap. Stan, Stan, son, listen, man, dad isn't mad, but how are you going to name yourself after a gun and have a man bun?
Yeah, it's damn gun and then have a man bun. All right, we'll stop there. So you see, track for track, you're named after a candy, I'm named after a gangster. No, you're not, you got a man bun, right? So
right.
That's an example of like, you can use humor, you can use wit. Liz didn't come with the same energy there, so I'm going to blame... You know, people probably tuned out on that one. Liz, I expect more. You know, Jason's dropping F-bombs. Liz is scared to drop damn.
Was that a diss record? Are you dissing?
Yeah. I do encourage everybody to have, and don't act. If you're listening to this, you know you have it. I have a war folder. I got a war folder. I keep receipts. I absolutely keep receipts. So before we end this with practical takeaways, Jason, give me something petty about yourself. You keep receipts, Jason. You ready in case, is there anybody, you don't have to name names, but is there anybody that like, if they said something today, you're like, you just don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
Oh yeah. They used to call me Jugular J, meaning if someone came at me, I'd go right for the jugular right away.
Jugular J.
I'd go right for the throat right away with something I had in my back pocket.
So do you have, I mean, I have three people that if they don't come at me, we're fine. But if they do, they have no idea what is waiting for them. And I will make them my sole focus. Like, do you have anything like that?
Oh yeah. I have a lot of people.
All right.
Yeah, it's just
I gotta hear this with Liz, because Liz, if you don't know Liz, right, like Liz could be on a Wheaties box. Liz is Midwestern, girl next door, wholesome Liz. But inside Liz is pure spite. Inside Liz is spite. She was a runner. She gets competitive. Her face will turn red. First of all, I need to know your rap name. His is Jugular Che. What's your rap name? And is there somebody that you're ready if they come at you? You got a diss ready.
Luscious Liz is my rap name.
Luscious Liz.
Whoa.
Megan Thee Stallion's got competition with Luscious Liz.
Okay.
Luscious Liz.
And what was the other question?
Like, do you have a nemesis that, like, if somebody were to come at you, you're like, you got something, you got an iron fist and a velvet glove that you're ready to just whop, 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 whop.
No, I'm like in my head, probably. I imagine things that I would say, but they never actually come out. Or I'm the person that afterwards I'm like, oh, I should have said this.
So we got to hear a diss. All right, let's get everybody on with it. Our top three takeaways of why the hell a rap beef, like how you can use it, how it can benefit you in business and life, the principles of it. Jason, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll try to go first on this one. I think the principle of it, number one, have confidence in yourself and your abilities and never be afraid to let people know about your confidence. Number two, if you are trying to be the best and want to stake that claim, it's okay to go at other people. I think, but my biggest takeaway from that is go at it, and I'm how do I want to phrase this? I want to phrase it as go at it with tactical violence, meaning like I don't think it needs to be so deadly and detrimental, but I think having to have some competition is good, and competition can cause creativity and get people to get to an uncomfortable position, and it can allow you to learn a lot about yourself. I think there's not enough instances where people put themselves in a position to be uncomfortably conflicted, whether that's through many different avenues. So number one, number two, And then my third one, to me, being a 45-year-old person, hip-hop just is not what it used to be.
You're hitting on a negative note. You're mad.
Yeah, well, I know.
Hey, it's all good. Eminem's got a new album this summer. Hopefully it's a good one. You know, he's going to have J. Cole, which I know you like, even though he pooped his pants and left the rap beef on this. You know,
you know, I don't mean to cut you off, and I'm sorry, but what I meant by that is, you know, I went back and I listened to Ether, right? And I listened to Jay-Z's song, and I went back and I listened to like Pusha T stuff and all these other stuff. I'm like, damn, I'm like, this stuff was so good. Like, there's so many words and messages through what they're saying, and I don't know. And I was like, damn, this was awesome. And you know what's funny? Funny story, and I'll hand it back over. I'm sorry, but I'm sitting outside of my driveway the other day. It's a beautiful day. I got Meadow with me, and all of a sudden I hear a Nas beat from like old school Nas. And I just hear it coming down my street, and I'm like, who the F is playing Nas coming down my street right now? I'm just bob my head. I look over, it's my 11-year-old son. That's fantastic.
Hey, like for the record, I ended up getting I got an A on a, like, I had to take a poetry or philosophy class, and I used a Nas lyric, which I'll end the show with, but Liz is going to go next, that got me an A on the paper. Because she was like, we need a certain kind of rhyme. And she's like, this kind of rhyme hasn't been used in like 100 years. And like, find a popular example of today's culture where that rhyme is used. And so, yeah, I did it, and I found Nas. Liz, I put some notes over here if you want to use them, your takeaways, okay, or just freestyle them.
Yeah, I got a couple right off the bat. So, one, I think as someone who does not really like conflict, I think it can be easy to take the J. Cole approach sometimes or just be like, no, you're dumb, and then just walk away from it. It brings more creativity, and like Jason said, competition can be helpful when you rise to that occasion and you have to think about, okay, how do I want to respond to this? Where do I stand out? And you can be tactful in how you do that. So I think that conflict can be beneficial and bring growth and development. So being tactful with that. And that brings me to part two, which we kind of touched on earlier, would be just the timing of that, knowing when to push back and when to just step back and see, you know, like on social media, perfect example, people come at people for just the dumbest things, or they say things that aren't even relevant. Do I need to spend 20 minutes responding to a tweet or something where it's just completely irrational? That's just a waste of time. That does not bring growth and creativity. And then third, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think when you know yourself, like we talked about Drake, I think their big beef with him is he's trying to be something that he's not, right? So
according to them.
Yeah, according to them. So I think the more that you know who you are and you stay authentic to that, it's going to be easier to come to the debate or come to conflict and see both sides. Like, hey, this is where I'm coming from, and I know that. This is why I believe this. And you can see the other side and understand where they're coming from.
Good ones. All right. I'd say this. Yeah. One, know who you are, but don't be scared to vary your style, right? Like for Kendrick to win this, which as of right now, people have said that he did, he stole from Drake's playbook. So Kendrick went the first few songs very much like Kendrick's style, but then he made what people in the industry call a diss bop, and called Not Like Us, which literally unified the West Coast. It's being played by the Dodgers during the NBA. What is it, the playoffs or finals right now? It's being played everywhere. And so Kendrick actually, like, honor your roots, but don't be scared to vary your style. Like, you have to periodically make something commercial. On the other hand, if you're Drake and you're more like Drake, nothing wrong with that, but like, if you're gonna talk about your roots, like, periodically go back and be a backpack rapper. Remind people who you are. There is almost a Freudian slip there, according to those allegations. And like, so like, know your audience, and then also like leverage a publicity. No matter what, in somebody's narrative, you're going to be the bad guy. A lot of my next book, I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to say some very unpopular things. But you know what? That's a role I'm going to play for the next chapter of my life. Pun intended, is like, you can't be scared for people to not like you, because otherwise you're not going to be for anybody. And then the final thing I would say there is, you're going to fail. Get back up. Like, Drake took an L here. No matter what people said, Drake took an L on this. He did. And like, maybe it's not done yet. They both lost in some ways, but that doesn't mean Drake's career is over by any means. His next album, like I said, is going to make collectively, they'll make $250 million. They're both going to make a lot of money there. So anything else you want to hit on?
No,
Jason, you get the final word.
I think that's a great endpoint. I think me saying anything would just diminish how awesome that was. So,
all right. Now, if anybody were to leave here and they decide they're going to listen to a hip hop song or they're going to listen to a diss record, so it can be a hip hop song, a diss record, or both, what do they got to do? And guys, if you're listening, by the way, parental advisory sticker. You know what I mean? Like, know what you're getting into. It's part of the culture. If you make the mistake of thinking these people are uneducated because of the words they use, you are so far off track. Some of these people are not only one billionaires, two, some of them have honorary degrees, and even the ones that don't have an understanding of language and all this stuff and an intelligence that is off the charts. Mm-hmm. So let's not be judgy here. But Jason, song they should listen to or a diss track or a line?
Oh, man. That's okay.
I'll give you a second. I'll do mine first. So one, the song you should listen to is New York State of Mind by Nas. Mm. Here's an example of the rhyme that got me an A on that paper, right? They got me an A. Yeah. So he said, I got so many rhymes, I don't think I'm too sane. Life is parallel to hell, but I must maintain. And to be prosperous, though we live in dangerous, cops could just arrange me, blaming us. We're like hostages. So think about that. Prosperous, dangerous, cops could just hostages. All the ways that that rhymes. It's only right that I was born to use mics, and the stuff that I write is even tougher than, and so he just goes on. But you think about that, strays, maze, packed, plays. That is unbelievable. My diss track that people should listen to, and you got to know the context behind it, is by Eminem called The Sauce. This was after a magazine called The Source came after him and accused him of being racist. He was minding his own business, and he finally just waved. If you want to hear raw emotion, don't mess with me, leave me alone, Eminem, The Sauce. Liz, diss track or song or rap song that you like?
Well, I don't have one of those, but I do have, you've shown me on, I think it's on YouTube before, there's an account where he'll take raps or rhymes and he'll highlight where all the rhymes are. And so you can see, I thought that was cool to be able to see how they'll tie something in here all the way back at the end and just all how they have to think about all that.
Yeah, and by the way, Liz's favorite diss song is Piggy Bank by 50 Cent. She told me that in confidence. So clickety clank, the money goes into my piggy bank. Liz says that one time when we were making love, and I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from. I was like, wait a minute, what is clickety clank? Is this something I'm supposed to do? I don't understand.
Oh my God.
All right, Jason, final word. You're the guest. Take us out.
Okay, so I think if you're going to go back, everyone should listen to Jay-Z and Biggie, Brooklyn's Finest.
There you go. All right. Folks, there you have it. This may not be your favorite episode, but I promise you, like, we're going to send a diss record right here. This is one of the damn most creative podcasts ever. We just took a rap beef, explained it seven different ways, whether you're an academic, whether you're a business owner, whether you're doing marketing, whether you're just somebody that's never even listened to rap. And like, we could have gone probably for two more hours. We tried to simplify some things, not because of you, just because this was an experiment. Maybe you hate it. Maybe you're going to quit listening to the podcast. Maybe we just got 500,000 new listeners and we're going to all move to New York and take on the Breakfast Club. I don't know. I don't know. Let's if you want more episodes like this and you want more of luscious Liz.
I think the people want more of my rapping.
They want more of luscious Liz's rapping and jugular Jason.
100%. What's your rap name? You're not getting off without saying that.
My rap name?
Yeah.
Oh, Two Scoops. And that's why we're in. All right, everybody, leave a review. We love you. Tell a friend to tell a friend, tell a friend. If you don't know about the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef, allow yourself to go down the rabbit hole. It's way more interesting. You know, when the president is rapping about it, we got it. So for myself, Jason, and luscious Liz, we're out of here.